Welcome back to Holland Row Baptist Church Encounter Podcasts, the podcast where we ask Jack and Lydia, what is your classic Nando order?
Mine's a bit embarrassing. I just like the plain chicken. I know, I can't even handle the mild stuff. So, I think it's a butterfly chicken burger or something really basic.
Do you get any side?
Yeah, some chips and the backgrounds.
What about you, Jack?
I usually go medium, good balance between flavour and not too spicy. And then I always enjoy it because they do an NHS discount, so that's good fun too. 10%
Brilliant.
Off. The butterfly chicken is really nice. And then if you get sides of like garlic bread and stuff, you can make your own, like make a burger, get some chips, get some different bits and pieces. And your refillable drink, so you can have like a bazillion fizzy drinks in there. Always very nice.
I feel like Sophie, as you asked, as it was your idea of a question, you probably have one as well. I'm curious to know.
Yeah, I do. So I normally go for the lemon and herb butterfly chicken because I don't really like chicken on the bone. I'm not very good at eating it. I get a bit freaked out. So I go for the butterfly chicken with peri peri chips and garlic bread, and then I get the bottomless drink. But I get those like bottles. You know, you can get the bottles of the sauce and you like put it on. I have the lemon and herb one of that as well with my chips. I really like it.
Nice.
And then I might get a frozen yogurt because I do love frozen yogurt. I like Nando's. What can I say? Yeah. What about you, Josh?
I think I've only ever been once to Nando's in my life. And that was when we first moved back to England. So that was like nearly 3 years ago now or something. And I have no idea what I would have gone for. Probably chicken is probably what I went for. And probably spicy.
Too many other options.
But yeah, I don't know. I just haven't been very often. It wasn't a thing back in Brazil. It doesn't exist. So sorry to disappoint, guys.
On that note, let's roll the intro music. Hi, everyone. I'm Sophie. I am one of the hosts of this podcast. I'm a second-year student at university. Back summer. Yeah, living in Brighton at the moment.
Great. And I'm Josh. I am 19 years old. I volunteer part-time at Holland Road. I teach guitar. And what I was just mentioning earlier is, for those who didn't know, I used to live in Brazil. And I moved back here when I was 16, I think. But yeah, so Jack, could you introduce yourself for us?
My name's Jack. I'm a paramedic with Southeast Coast Ambulance Service, working over in Lewis. I've been a paramedic for about 18 months now.
Amazing. Thank you so much. And Lydia?
I'm Lydia. Same as Jack. We both work at Lewis Ambulance Station. We were both students at Brighton Uni and again finished about 18 months ago.
Nice. Today we're going to do a Q&A segment with you guys, Jack and Lydia. So we ask people to send in a few questions on the @encounter_HR Instagram account. One of the comments that we got was a really nice message where someone just thanked you for the work that you guys are doing, which I thought was really nice I'd pass on to you. But the first question that we're going to start with, what made you decide to become a paramedic?
So it started mainly for me as quite a young teenager. Unfortunately, both my brother and my sister at different points needed ambulances for a couple of different things. Thankfully, they're all right now. But we're quite unwell at the time. And it's quite a frightening situation, as I'm sure you can imagine. Mm. And the kind of like support and comfort, I guess would be the word, that ambulance crew provided when they arrived. I was always very admirable of that and quite interested in how they knew kind of how to kind of make things better, for lack of a better expression. And was just really interested in how they were able to, to help us in that situation. So I have been with it since then. And the more and more I looked into it as I got older, the more and more the job appealed to me. Having a job where you'd be out and about, not behind a desk and kind of, quite the privilege to be able to drive around, on blue light things. I'm very thankful for that. And just a job, where you can get up every day and go and help people was just something that really appealed to me. So was very thankful to get onto the course, the paramedic course at the University of Brighton. And as soon as I started my placement there, just loved being out on shifts with the paramedics and other ambulance people there. Just loved it and loved it ever since.
That's great. Thank you. And Lydia?
So since I was little, wanted to go into some sort of medical job. My mum's a nurse and one of my sisters is also a nurse. So I guess it sort of runs in our family a little bit. Yeah, so I sort of went through school planning that. And then, to be honest, I didn't even know that the paramedic course was a thing until I was sitting on the bus on my way to school and overheard a conversation listening in, as I always am, and a girl behind me was telling her friend about the paramedic course and that she was going to apply and all these great things about it, and I thought, oh yeah, I could do that too. So from there, started like looking into the course, and yeah, like Jack says, the being outside and being out and about, going into people's homes is such a privilege, and I've thought about applying and then ended up somehow in Brighton, which didn't really expect. I didn't look at any of my universities before having interviews there. I was a bit last minute with my decision making. not the advice I'd give to anyone applying for uni. But yeah, really enjoyed it. Felt very at home at Brighton, and like Jack said, once we started placement, very sure that this was the right thing for me.
Amazing. Thanks. Thank you so much, guys. So following on from that, could you just tell us, so the question is, what has been the best moment so far?
Yeah, so in terms of my sort of clinical side of work, I think the best moment so far has been, we went to a patient, came through his abdo pain, turned out he was actually having a heart attack, and we managed to get him to the right part of the hospital very quickly, and we had a really lovely thank you letter sent to us from his family. And himself. He was out of hospital within a week or so, and actually a few weeks or months later I actually bumped into him and his wife just in Churchill Square, and it was amazing to be able to then to see how he had recovered, and you know, very pleased with the outcome for him. And yeah, it was just a lovely, we don't normally get to follow up on our patients or let alone see them again, so that was a really great moment for me.
Nice. That's amazing. That's really cool. How about you, Jack?
Rather a similar story. I think one of the points to emphasize from there is it's quite difficult for us to get feedback in our job. Once a patient has gone to hospital, they're not technically our patient anymore, so we're not allowed to know what happens to them. In instances where people send thank you letters or you get to meet the patient again and you get to have that feedback and that kind of closure is great. So a relatively similar story in that we attended a gentleman who had a heart attack. Unfortunately, he was a bit further along the line, so when we got there, his heart had stopped beating and he had stopped breathing. I was quite early on in my student paramedic time there, so I was taking kind of the more, shall we say, simpler roles. but let's be honest, I was doing the chest compressions and things like that. And as a big team, there ended up being 8 or 9 of us there in the end. But we're really thankful after a couple of hours of everyone working very hard, managed to get his heart beating again, and managed to get him breathing on a ventilator and off to hospital. And then really thankfully, he recovered really well and actually ended up going back to work. He recovered so well. Wow. Real privilege. And the reason why I think it's a real highlight for me is the ambulance service arranged a day where the patient and his family could come in and meet the team that worked on the ambulance service. So I got to meet him again, but now awake and walking. And I guess, and his wife and his daughter were there as well. And it was just a real privilege and a real honor to be able to just to meet them and see them. And when often we don't get much closure in this job. And just the kind of the job satisfaction, the reward from that, was a real highlight for me.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you guys for sharing that. What is something that keeps you going when the job gets hard?
I think I have two answers to that at the moment. Just following on from the last question, having that job satisfaction, being able to see when maybe you go to a patient who's in a lot of pain and then you're able to help them with that, or they're in a really stressful and difficult situation and you're able to help them through, even in the short amount of time you're with them, an hour or two maximum kind of thing, you're able to see how you've been able to help someone. I don't know if that's a little bit selfish in terms of this for me. Just the satisfaction of knowing that you can help someone, that you've tried to make a difference to them. It's helpful when it gets tough to know that you really that you are helping them. And then secondly, I've just particularly in the last few weeks been so grateful for the support from the public. Being at work when we've had the like clap for your carers type thing, and being out and about then, and just kind of the gifts and support and encouragement from the public, particularly over the last few weeks, has been incredible. Every time I've gone to work, there's been gifts left on station. People have been so generous with their time and their money and their resources, particularly as like it's difficult for us to get to shops on shift, so they've just been bringing like bread and fruit and things like that. It's been amazing. I've just been so grateful and thankful for all the support and encouragement that the public have been given at the moment. It really does help in the tougher times.
Wow, that's such an encouragement, I think. Yeah. Lydia, what about you?
I think for me, having a good crewmate makes the most difference as well. Because sometimes we're with lots of different people each day. It might be a different person that we're working with. But we're quite fortunate at Lewis. We have a really lovely bunch of staff. Mm. And when you're at a job and it's just the two of you, you rely a lot on your crewmate. And if you go to a difficult job, the most support you get is your crewmate in the back in the cab after a job, chatting through it and trying to work out, you know, what went well, what didn't, and just supporting each other through the difficult times as well. I think I sometimes find it hard because unless you're in that setting, it's hard to really explain to somebody else what it was like at work or, you know, things like that. And you do rely on your crewmate quite a lot as well.
That's really helpful. I think, it's really good. It's really interesting having some of these insights, kind of like even about the size of the crew. I had no idea, how many of you there are at one time. But so the next question that we had was kind of more about now. So how have you been anxious going to work and how do you cope with that?
Yes, I have been a bit anxious. Wouldn't say normally get particularly anxious unless it was when we first started work and it was all very new and scary. And I had a moment the other week when I listened to the news a bit too much and you hear some of these really sad and tragic stories of healthcare workers that are really struggling at the moment. And then I thought, oh my goodness, why am I going to work? I don't want to catch this, blah, blah, blah. And actually, I wasn't at work that day and actually spent it just listening to some Christian music and reflecting on what God says about this. And 2 Timothy 4:17, but the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. And because I was actually feeling really anxious and thought I don't really want to go to work at the moment. But knowing that God is with us and he's strengthened us through it encouraged me.
Yeah, it's really, really inspiring. How about you, Jack?
Yeah, definitely. I 100% agree with what Lydia said. And also, I was just really thankful that verse in particular, Lydia shared in a group chat that we have with some Christian NHS workers, and to kind of have that support from other Christians in a similar environment going through the same situation has been really beneficial. But more specifically, to answer your question, with the anxiety about it, absolutely. It can be terrifying having kind of a potentially life-threatening disease. I'm in a very fortunate position in that I live just with my wife and we have no one here at home who's vulnerable. So I'm very lucky in that if the horrible event that I do bring something home, the likelihood is both of us being in good health will be able to try and manage. But I just feel so sorry for the people who are in more difficult situations or maybe more vulnerable situations. So that's been helpful in trying to view the positive side in that we have a good chance of pulling through. And I guess trying to look at the practical steps, trying to focus on the facts of the situation rather than the what ifs, the unknowns. makes sense. And yeah, just focusing on the really concrete, on things that we know to be true, in that we fortunately at the moment as an ambulance service do have the personal protective equipment. Hopefully that will last. We do have treatments available should breathing conditions worsen. And I know it's not a perfect system, but just, yeah, really focusing on those truths. And yeah, and then just reiterating how grateful we are. I've had quite a few messages from people from Holland Road saying, like, we're praying for you, we're thinking of you, and just knowing that we have that extra protection, that just this group of people really diligently praying for us and praying that protection for us, really helps when you're faced with such a difficult situation.
Yeah, cool. Thank you so much.
Just one last question that we have. How do you share your faith and hope in God for people when they need it, when you're technically not allowed to?
Yeah, definitely. So I think there's kind of two avenues where we share it at work. One would be with our colleagues, and one would be with patients. Patients is where it becomes a bit more difficult, because as the question alluded to, we're not actually allowed to overtly share our faith with a patient unless they ask us about our faith specifically. So that becomes a lot more difficult. But I think both with colleagues and with patients, they can still see how maybe we live differently or act differently to others in certain situations because of our faith, because of what we know Jesus has done for us. And that love, that unconditional love that we've received, helps us to love unconditionally, which is in particularly stressful or dark environments, that unconditional love can be really stark. And by showing how we live differently, rather than overtly going and telling someone about the gospel, showing it with our actions instead is a good way of trying to spread the good news and help people try and see that. And then with colleagues, there's significantly less rules around it, and usually trying to share your faith just in how you live your life. So if someone says, "What did you do at the weekend?" telling them about church and your community and meals we've had together and that kind of thing, and just sharing it as, because it is just part of our life, rather than trying to preach at them, just tell them about why it's important to me, what and why it's part of my identity and who I am. You get 12 hours stuck in 12 hours in a 9 foot by 16 foot ambulance with a person, so you get a lot of chance to share kind of a bit about yourself and what you've been up to. Yeah. And so, or even just like communities midweek and the fun things we managed to do and living that kind of extended family type life. I think, when people ask kind of like, what do you get up to? Where do you get your support from? What do you do for fun? That kind of thing. I think the opportunity I like to try and take to share why I believe what I believe and use that as a method of the good news. Yeah.
How about you, Lydia?
Same as what Jack was saying, really. There are two main areas that we can share our faith. And with patients, like Jack was saying, it is really tricky. I've had some really amazing encounters where patients have been Christian and they've shared their faith with me, not knowing that I was a Christian when they were doing it, at the time. Some amazing sort of at times when people were at the end of their life and choosing to watch God TV and listen to Christian music and shared their testimony with me about what they've done in their life, the missions that they've been on for God, and been able to have a conversation with them then about it, but also for my colleague to witness that as well has been amazing. So real encouragement of actually other people sharing their faith with me, which is hard to do the other way around. And with colleagues as well, I think it was quite a challenge at first. Like Jack was saying, 12 hours shifts with just one other person is sometimes quite challenging. And then if you don't get along or you say something that offends, things like that, it's very, it's a difficult balancing act. But actually, likewise, over time you get to know people more and you're able to share more with them and have interesting conversations because you do have that sort of intense time together. I was asked by a colleague about whether this job makes it more difficult to believe in God or easier? Because sometimes we see quite difficult things that some people say, well, if there was a God, why would we be seeing this? And so that was a real opportunity to actually say, I wouldn't be able to do this job without God. You know, there's only hope because of God. Yeah, there's been some really positive experiences through sharing faith as well.
That's so encouraging. And thank you guys for sharing. I was just wondering if there's anything else you wanted to add that hasn't come up in the questions.
Yeah, so I, like Jack was saying, I've had a lot of support from people encouraging me going to work in this time especially. And I just wanted to share one Bible verse that I was sent by my sister. It's 2 Corinthians 1 verses 3 to 4, and it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." And that, to me, sort of summed up how I've been feeling and the situation at the moment and the difficulties at work. And actually, we can comfort others because we've received that comfort from God, which was, really encouraging.
That's great. Thank you so much.
That's all the time we have for today's podcast. This has been HRBC Encounter Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Jack and Lydia, for chatting with us.
You can follow us on Instagram at encounter_HR. We post a new podcast every week on Wednesdays, so look out for that. Just before we close, Jack and Lydia, what can we be praying for you guys about? Because we would love to pray for you right now. That's cool.
Just mainly for strength and health and having the opportunity to really show the love of God in this time to our colleagues and patients.
Yeah, definitely for protection, for health, for good health. We can't do our jobs if we're ill ourselves, and there's a difficulty with staff shortages and things like that at the moment. So definitely, for protection over that. And then, just to reiterate Lydia's point, just to have the opportunity to share that hope in a time that is so dark, and people are really struggling with that hope, with aloneness and isolation. To share that such good news and that community and that love that people need so much at the moment, to have the opportunity to share that in an appropriate way. Thank you.
That's great. I'm just going to pray for you guys now and then we'll close off. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Jack and Lydia, for this call that you've placed in them to serve the NHS in this way and to serve you through that. I just pray that you'll protect them and protect them from the virus. I thank you that they are currently in good health, but I just pray that you'll keep them safe and that they won't bring it home to their families. But also I pray that you'll provide opportunities through this to show your love and that they can reflect your love in the hospitals, in the ambulances, and that they can share that there is a hope with their patients and their colleagues, where that might be really difficult because of the legal stuff surrounding it. I just pray that these opportunities will become so clear. I just thank you for them. Amen.
Amen.
We'll see you next Wednesday. Bye.